The next poems are newer poems, which may or may not be pertinent. Solstice. We forgot to water the plantain shoots when our houses were full of borrowed meat and our stomachs with the gifts of strangers who laugh now as they pass us because our land is barren. The farms are choked with stunted rows of straw and with our nightmares of juicy brown yams that cannot fill us. The roofs of our houses rot from last winter's water, but our drinking pots are broken. We have used them to mourn the deaths of old lovers. The next rain will wash our footprints away, and our children have married beneath them. Our skins are empty. They have been vacated by the spirits who are angered by our reluctance to feed them. In baskets of straw made from sleep grass and the droppings of civets, they have been hidden away by our mothers who are waiting for us by the river. My skin is tightening. Soon I shall shed it like a monitor lizard, like remembered comfort at the new moon's rising. I will eat the last signs of my weakness, remove the scars of old childhood wars, and dare to enter the forest whistling. Like a snake that has fed the chameleon for changes, I shall be forever. May I never remember reasons for my spirit's safety. May I never forget the warning of my woman's flesh weeping at the new moon. May I never lose that terror that keeps me brave. May I owe nothing that I cannot repay. The following poem was written in Dahomey, West Africa, in the summer of 1974. And the title of it is Dahomey. It was in a Bomi that I felt the full blood of my father's wars, and where I found my mother standing with outstretched palms, hip high, one breast eaten away by worms of sorrow, magic stones resting upon her fingers, dry as a cough. In the dooryard of the brass workers, four women joined together, dyeing their cloth. Mock issues iron quiver, standing erect and flamingly familiar in their dooryard, mute as a porcupine in a forest of lead. In the court of the brass workers, brothers and nephews are stitching bright tapestries into tales of blood. Thunder is a woman with braided hair, spelling the Fas of Shangles, asleep between sacred pythons that cannot read nor eat the ritual offerings of the Asang. My throat in the panther's lair is unresisting. In spite of the fire's heat, the tongs can fetch it. Bearing two drums on my head, I speak whatever language is needed to sharpen the knives of my tongue. The snake is aware, although sleeping, under my blood. Since I am a woman, whether or not you are against me, I will braid my hair even in the seasons of rain. I always feel that we are constantly fearing the wrong things. The title of this poem is Nobody Wants to Die on the Way. Nobody wants to die on the way, caught between the ghosts of whiteness and the real water. None of us wanted to leave our bones on the way to salvation. Three planets to the left a century of light years ago. Our spices are separate and particular, but our skins sing in complimentary keys. At 7:45 mean time, we were telling the same stories over and over and over. Broken down gods are surviving in the crevasses and mud pots of every beleaguered city, where it is obvious there are too many bodies to cart away to the ovens or gallows. Our uses are more important than our silence. After the fall, too many empty cases of blood to bury or burn. Anyway, there will be nobody left to listen, and our labor has become more important than our silences. Our labor has become more important than our silences. One of my children's teachers once sent a note home saying that my son had a very, quote, primitive social adjustment, and I didn't understand what she meant. I spoke to her about it, and I still don't really understand what she meant, but in a very gallows humorous way, I do. And this is an answer. The title of this is School Note, which those of you who have children know we are always writing, right? School note. My children play with skulls, for their classrooms are guarded by warlocks who scream at the walls collapsing into paper toilets. Plump witches mouth ancient curses in an untaught tongue, test children upon their meaning, assign grades in a holocaust, ranging from fury down through contempt. My children play with skulls. At school, they have already learned to dream of dying. Their playgrounds were graveyards where nightmares of no stood watch over the rented earth filled with the bones of tomorrows. My children play with skulls and remember that for the embattled, there is no place that cannot be home, nor is. I would like to end with a poem entitled Power, and it's dedicated to Clifford Glover. I hope some of you will remember. Clifford Glover was a 10-year-old boy who was killed in Queens in April of 1974, and this is a poem dedicated to him. Power. The difference between poetry and rhetoric is being ready to kill yourself instead of your children. I am trapped on a desert of raw gunshot wounds and a dead child dragging his shattered black face off the edge of my sleep. Blood from his punctured cheeks and shoulders is the only liquid for miles, and my stomach churns at the imagined taste while my mouth splits into dry lips without loyalty or reason. Thirsting for the wetness of his blood as it sinks into the whiteness of this desert where I am lost beyond imagery or magic, trying to make power out of hatred and destruction, trying to heal my dying son with kisses, only the sun will bleach his bones quicker. A policeman who shot down a 10-year-old in Queens stood over the boy with his cop shoes in childish blood, and a voice said, "Die, you little mother," and there are tapes to prove that. At his trial, this policeman said, in his own defense, "I didn't notice the size or nothing else, only the color," and there are tapes to prove that, too. Today, that 37-year-old white man with 13 years of police forcing was set free by 11 white men who said they were satisfied justice had been done, and one black woman who said, "They convinced me," meaning they had dragged her 4-foot, 10-inch black woman's frame, over the hot coals of 4 centuries of white male approval, until she let go of the first real power she ever had and lined her own womb with cement to make a graveyard for our children. I have not been able to touch the destruction within me, but unless I learn to use the difference between poetry and rhetoric, my power too will run corrupt as poisonous mold, or lie limp and useless as an unconnected wire, and one day I will take my teenaged plug and connect it to the nearest socket, raping an 85-year-old white woman who is somebody's mother, and as I beat her senseless and set a torch to her bed, a Greek chorus will be singing in 3/4 time, "Poor thing, she never hurt a soul. What beasts they are."
You have been listening to Audre Lorde reading her poems. This program was produced by Susan Howe, with technical direction by Richard Harris.
Poetry came to you on recording.